This Sunday at 3 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University, the semester will officially close with a brass celebration of Christmas. This is a long-standing tradition presented by the School of Music at Western Michigan University. And here to join me for a preview are Dr. Robert White, professor of trumpet at Western Michigan University, and horn player, graduate student, Alexandra Mattson. And I'd like to welcome you both to WMUK.
Thanks, Kara.
Thank you.
Returning both to yes. WMUK. So let me set up an image here, a concept. A little town on the planet in the northern hemisphere is keeping alive a piece of music that was written over 500 years ago with a yearly performance and in its thousands of miles from where it was written and, of course, the age of which it was written. But one of my favorite things about a brass celebration of Christmas is the annual performance of Thielmann Susato's dances from the Danserie. These Renaissance pieces that have been kept alive like the Olympic flame here in Kalamazoo. And as one of the trumpeters required to play the extremely difficult parts, I think maybe I'll ask your take on it.
Well, I tell you, this is my fifth year of playing the brass celebration of Christmas, and it's the piece I most remember from my student days because I did my undergraduate degree here at Western a long time ago. And I remember Steve Jones and Scott Thornburg playing it then. It made a huge impression. And after doing it for 5 years, the question I've posed to my colleagues a couple of times has been, have we ever thought about replacing this piece with something else? And the word is that, yes, they have thought about it, and maybe even once they did replace it and received a lot of angry feedback from the loyal fans of this show. So, you know, we keep it on, you know.
That's right. The answer is no, you can't.
Absolutely. No, but it is, it's super fun to play. And, you know, for me, it becomes kind of a good monitor of where I'm at in my playing when I start to dust it off, you know, a couple of weeks before we start rehearsing, just to sort of get through everything. It sort of lets me know how in shape I actually am or am not. So it's always great. So
it comes with an element of nostalgia, and in this past year, we lost Stephen Jones himself, who was the longtime professor of trumpet and was one of the featured performers on this piece for years and years. So that's something that will bring him to mind, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even when he was alive and, you know, countless times he performed this, the piece also had a connection to his former colleague and mentor, Don Bullock, who, you know, sort of came up with the idea of a brass celebration of Christmas and, you know, launched the annual iteration of it. And all the highly ornamented stuff that we're playing in the piece is courtesy of Don Bullock. He wrote all that out for us. And it, you know, it just reflects his own musical impulses. You know, he was someone who was really interested in the most contemporary modern music and going way back as far as possible to the early Baroque and before. So, you know, it's got Don Bullock's stamp on it. It definitely has Steve Jones's stamp on it. And, you know, it's great to bring it to life.
I guess we could get into a little bit of music history before we listen to the recording of the brass ensemble, because when Susato was alive, his name was Thielmann Susato. I believe he was Franco-Flemish, perhaps?
That sounds right. That's a good default for, you know, this era of music. Franco-Flemish,
and
something like
sort
that.
Sort of Netherlands as well. At this time, people were writing down music, but oftentimes it wasn't specified what combination of instruments.
Right.
So when you're saying Donald Bullock put his stamp on it, he could actually take just a very basic blueprint from the Renaissance music and then create very specific
parts. That's exactly right. And improvisation was sort of an accepted standard practice of instrumental music for a very long time, even long after this piece. The composer would just sort of assume that the performer would go off the blueprint and, you know, create their own special flourishes to things. It's not even, you know,
disgusted if you just played what was written.
Well, they would just be shocked. They would just sort of look at you like, what are you doing? That's way too boring. You got to do something else.
Go back to the practice room.
Right. It wasn't until we get to composers like, say, Haydn that we see this real standardized idea of the composers writing down everything they want you to play. Maybe Bach, but even Bach probably expected you to be a little creative with what he put down there.
I'm with Dr. Robert White and Alexandra Mattson. Both will be performing on Sunday at 3 o'clock in a brass celebration of Christmas. It's been a lovely season of concerts, especially with the School of Music presenting choral concerts. And this last week, the Moscow Ballet was back in town, and the orchestra was the live orchestra for that.
Yes.
Alexandra, were you part of that performance?
I was. It was an incredible experience. Like I said, it was a great experience. I had actually never played for a live ballet before, so that was great to do that for the first time here.
You couldn't watch, of course.
No, we were in the pit. So unfortunately, unfortunately, we couldn't see.
Did you hear thumping and scraping? And
honestly, no, not a lot, which is incredible, and that is truly like a testament to how skilled these dancers really are. You know, and especially the women who were wearing pointe shoes. I mean, you could barely hear them up on the stage. So that was just incredible to get to experience that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it is a 2.5 hour performance, so I imagine everyone in the brass section had to take a little break after that.
Yes, yeah. It is a rather challenging show, but very rewarding at the end of it. And even, you know, the strings and the woodwinds, you know, no one really has a break during that show. So we're all just constantly playing. But like I said, well worth it and very rewarding.
Did you have a chance to look and see if the audience was full?
Yes. So the way that the pit was actually set up that day in Miller, it was kind of raised a little bit. So actually the horn section, we were kind of eye level with the audience. So we were able to see the audience very well, and it seemed like everyone was enjoying themselves a lot. So
did you see children in the audience?
Yes. Not very many really young children, but yeah, definitely some older children, teenagers even. So yeah, there were lots of people there.
Well, here is our chance to listen to the Danserie, which is actually a larger group of pieces written by Susato. These four pieces arranged by Donald Bullock, as you mentioned, Bob, and probably meant to be danced too. Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely, yep. These are the jukebox hits of the day, so to speak.
This recording goes back several years, and so we will hear Scott Thornburg as well as Stephen Jones on the virtuosic trumpet parts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's tradition for the Western Brass Quintet and the full ensemble on a brass celebration of Christmas to perform the four dances from the Danserie by Tilman Susato. And we are previewing that concert, which is Sunday, with Dr. Robert White, who's a trumpet professor at Western Michigan University, and graduate assistant Alexandra Mattson, who is a horn student, and will be, both of you will be playing the music from the Danserie, and will, as always, Judy Moonert be playing percussion?
Oh, absolutely.
On this.
Couldn't do this show without Professor Moonert.
It's at 3 o'clock on Sunday. It's a ticketed concert, and you can find the details at the School of Music website or through the MillerAuditorium.com box office website. And Alexandra, during the music, you mentioned that this piece was an important thing for you to hear in terms of making your choice to come to school here.
Sure, yeah. When I was an undergraduate and I was searching for graduate schools, this Western was the first place that I visited, and I happened to be coming on the weekend when Christmas Brass was being performed, and so Dr. Baird invited me to see that show, and then I later had a lesson with her. But Christmas Brass was the first concert that I experienced at Western. And so, yeah, that was absolutely a part of why I wanted to come and study here, because I saw these fantastic musicians, both faculty members and students, playing together, and I wanted to be a part of that.
The last time we talked, it was before the Western Winds concert, which featured an ensemble piece, the Michael Tilson Thomas Street Song.
Yes.
And then the graduate brass quintet performed, and you were part of that.
I performed with the Wind Quintet.
Wind Quintet.
Yes, yeah. So the horn graduate assistants, we split our time. Our first year is we're playing in the graduate Wind Quintet, and then our second year we play in the graduate brass quintet. So, yes.
You did switch personalities.
Yeah.
In one, you're like, how do I sound like an oboe and a flute and a bassoon? And then the other one's like, okay, now I'm in the brass section.
Sure, yeah. They're two very different ensembles.
Of course, that's what Dr. Baird does, too, because she plays both with the faculty brass quintet and the faculty wind quintet here.
Mm-hmm.
So she is a living model of that kind of flexibility. That's great that students get the chance to do that, too.
Yeah. And a good model for a chamber musician, which is your, primary love is small ensemble work.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And just like Dr. White said, it's fantastic that I get to study with Dr. Baird because she is, like he said, the living model of that, playing with both woodwind and brass instruments. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, to go back to Steve Jones for a second, too, I think the concept of this program has involved students since its beginning. And in a way, it kind of foreshadowed the Western Winds program. I think one of the things, I haven't talked to him directly about this, but I think when Dr. Spradling got here, his director of bands back in the 90s, one of the things that made a big impression on him was this holiday brass program and how students were sitting alongside the faculty and how it was such a point of pride for the students to take part in it and so forth. And, I think that helped get some of the wheels turning about doing this kind of graduate program that involves side-by-side performing as well as a really intense focus on chamber music.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that makes Western School of Music unique in the state, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't programs that are just like this. It's a small graduate program, but I think, it offers something unique.
Yeah.
And Western can boast so many opportunities. That's what I think is what we're getting down to is if you want to do it, you probably can.
Mm-hmm.
Your teacher or other faculty can help make it happen,
mm-hmm.
whether it's writing your own music, performing in different genres, forming your own student ensemble to play out, you'll get some support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, back to the Christmas celebration, the brass celebration of Christmas, rather. Let's look at some of the other pieces we can expect to hear. This one, of course, mandatory.
We do have a lot of new stuff on this program, though, too.
You do. What are some of the things that have cycled in this year?
Well, you know, we're doing a big piece for brass and percussion by Karel Husa, the Czech-American composer who also has a special connection to the School of Music. He, you know, was the guest composer for the Spring Conference on Wind and Percussion Music, I think a couple of times, you know, right from the 1960s to later. And then in 1977, he was commissioned by the Western Brass Quintet to write a piece called Landscapes, which the group played in Avery Fisher Hall in New York, and they recorded it. And he's known as kind of someone who, you know, covered the full gamut of styles in the modern era, ranging all the way up to the very avant-garde. But we're going to do a piece of his from the 1950s called Divertimento for brass and percussion, and it's a very sort of Bartok-like folk music-inspired suite of four short pieces, and it really is unique sounding. It's you know, it's got some modern harmonies in it, but it's got a lot of really rousing dance-like things happening, and it's a great piece and one that I don't think has been on a Christmas brass program before. So that's one we're looking forward to.
Karel Husa, kind of a musician's musician.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when you see his name on a score, you're like, oh, I'm not going to be bored now.
Yeah.
This is fairly interesting. And his most famous piece, is it Prague 1968?
Music for Prague, you know, it's mostly known in the band wind ensemble version, but there is an orchestra version of it too. It's a very powerful piece.
It was one that struck me as a young player in a group, in band, putting together a modern piece that meant, that told a story about about tanks coming into Prague and the end of what they considered freedom.
The Prague Spring was this incredible moment of optimism, and then it was sort of snuffed out in a, you know, the most sort of terrifyingly oppressive way. And Husa, you know, that's part of the reason he expatriated to the U.S. And he told that story to every student he came into contact with, that, you know, look, this is what shaped me. This is where I'm coming from artistically. This is, you know. And, yeah, that piece uses the old chorale, the Czech, the Hussite chorale, Ye Warriors of God and His Law. And it sort of comes in this incredibly dominating brass chorale at the end of the piece, but it leaves a huge impression. And this Divertimento is much more lighthearted.
Let's just make that point.
It's going to be a much more fun experience than Music for Prague, but he is a incredibly serious composer and someone we're really proud to have affiliation with. I never got to meet him myself, but his influence on the Western Brass Quintet is pretty big.
It's a way of kind of deepening a concert to, you know, bring really festive pieces, but also have pieces that touch on something a little more, not meaningful, but just rigorous. You put, make a balance of fluff and rigor. And it's too much of one or the other can just overbalance a concert.
Well, and you know, I think our relationship with Christmas music culturally is one that's fraught with these challenges, because it's so much wallpaper this time of year, audio wallpaper everywhere you go. You have, you know,
on 102.1 as well. I'm as big a culprit.
And it's sort of like the way you feel after eating Christmas cookies for 8 hours continuously. I mean, it's fun at first, but then after a while, it's like, oh boy, this was not a good idea. And I think this program has always had a real, well, again, Steve Jones, he always programmed real music, you know, music that was really meaningful. Some of it's light, some of it's serious, but it all is deeply felt.
Let me remind listeners that A Brass Celebration of Christmas is Sunday at 3 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Remember that, because it does switch back and forth. So it's at the School of Music's Recital Hall. And it is a ticketed event. You can find tickets online right now through the MillerAuditorium.com. Box office, 387-2300. A lot of concerts marking armistice this fall. And one of the composers associated with the early part of the 20th century is Claude Debussy. Mm-hmm. And I noticed there are some unusual, unusual pieces by Debussy on the program, arranged for brass. And
yeah.
I'd like to listen to one or two of those. Maybe you could introduce the chansons.
Yeah, these are three songs that Debussy wrote for chorus, based on poetry by Charles, Duke of Orleans, from the 16th century. I can't remember the date, but some back in the 1500s sometime. And very old poetry, but with Debussy's signature modern musical language attached to them. So, beautiful songs.
They are arranged in for full brass ensemble?
It'll be the Western Brass Quintet playing those songs.
I wasn't able to find a quintet version. We will hear a group of trombone players.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. We heard a brass arrangement of choral pieces by Claude Debussy. And if you tuned in during the music, let me tell you, I am with trumpet player and professor of music at Western Michigan University, Dr. Robert White, along with graduate assistant Alexandra Mattson, who is a horn player. And we're previewing this Sunday's brass celebration of Christmas. It's a tradition of the School of Music going back decades.
35 years.
Is it 35?
This is the 35th year,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. These lovely and little heard pieces of Debussy featured on the program, but have no fear, you will hear much Christmas cheer. A little later this hour, we'll listen to a special arrangement that has been popular, Festive Cheer, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And in a moment, some music of Bizet, but just a reminder that it's a very well-rounded program. There are pieces that also speak to the sort of sacred nature of the darkest time of year. This Morten Lauridsen piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. O Magnum Mysterium. That's a text from the 13th century that has been set countless times over the centuries. Giovanni Gabrielli, Thomas Luis de Victoria have famous settings of it. Morten Lauridsen's was written in 1994. He's associated with the St. Olaf College Choir. They have a very strong tradition of choral singing at St. Olaf. And he's a very well-known choral composer. And this setting is very, very well-known among choral singers.
Mm-hmm.
And the text speaks to the kind of impoverished state that the Christ child was born into, manger surrounded by barnyard animals, and also being born to a virgin, these holy mysteries, you know, that's what the text is reflecting on. But Morten Lauridsen's setting is, this is transcendent music. I mean, it's just unbelievably beautiful. Mm. And it adapts really well to brass, that it's so sustained and sort of paced in a way that it just builds and builds and builds, that it really adapts well. And our good friend Brian Berkeley wrote the arrangement that we're going to play on the program. So
it has some elements in common with, say, the Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber.
Mm-hmm.
the pieces that build and you're not sure how, because they also have the staticness.
I would say that, you know, the Lauridsen is, it has, it keeps the sunshine out the whole time in a way that the Barber, I mean, the Barber is incredibly moving, but also, you know, very, very elegiac, very sad. Yeah. And this one just seems to kind of radiate the whole time. That's Bob, what I'd say anyway.
But. Bob, I just have to remark that you're reminding me that part of your activity at the School of Music is to host guest ensembles. And before each concert on the Bullock series, you inform yourself about the program and the artists and talk to them each time. And you just have that, it's the ability to access the...
I played a lot of Trivial Pursuit as a child.
Yeah, you're not using notes to mention that the Lauridsen was written in 1994.
Well, a fountain of useless information.
I think it's great, and it's wonderful that you teach at Western and have a part in this series that is open to the public year-round, the Bullock Performance Institute series, which brings in such a variety of groups and is one of those little calling cards to the rest of Kalamazoo and West Michigan to come out and see a variety of music that the School of Music participates.
It's a series we're really proud of, and props go to Lori Sims and the PR Squared committee that puts the programming together every year. It's a tough job. I mean, it takes a lot of thought, and there's a lot of moving parts, but it's always a great series, so...
This concert, A Brass Celebration of Christmas, will kick off at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And that will be the last public concert for the semester, right? Anders?
I think so.
Yeah. It's always...
There's nothing more to say after, after festive cheer.
Do you have any holiday plans? That are you staying home?
I'll let Alexandra answer this first.
Okay. Sure. I'm going to be heading back to Virginia to spend some time with my family. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about that. I saw them briefly over Thanksgiving, but I'm excited to be back for a little bit longer and just get to spend some time with them.
So. Do you have any things that every Christmas or every holiday that you celebrate or do a certain thing that kind of cements the year again?
Yes, yeah. So my family, usually on the 23rd of December, we'll go out driving, looking at the Christmas lights around our neighborhood. We'll just drive around, find the best neighborhoods with the lights. And then on Christmas Eve, we always watch the Polar Express together. And that's kind of like our... That's our family tradition.
Chris Van Allsburg, Grand Rapids own. Yeah.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
He's the author of that children's book that it's based on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, we do that every Christmas Eve, and that just—I don't know—we've always done that. So.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
In our family, we kind of worshipped lasagna because Mom would never make it, and it took so long, and all the layers and everything. So. Christmas lasagna is sort
That's
of
awesome.
My favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, the ham that my mom makes and just the pumpkin pie. And, yeah, her food is amazing, too.
Yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
Well, I'm going 100 miles an hour right up to Christmas Day, I'm afraid. I'm playing with the Detroit Symphony next week, and I have my own Christmas Eve services to play at Christchurch Cranbrook. And then Christmas Day is when I do what you'd call with your computer a hard reset and just shut off. I have a 9-year-old son, and I know he's not listening to this, so I can say that Santa's bringing him a Nintendo Switch. So I think we're going to be playing a lot of video games for a while.
You're going to have to show him how that works.
Yeah, of course, exactly.
Show him how competition. Yep.
School him in Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
That's wonderful. Why don't we take another short break for music? Here is the Farandole from Bizet's... I think it's incidental music to La
From a very obscure play, right.
Yeah.
The music's better than the play.
Absolutely. That's why we hear the music and never see the play. the Farandole from L'Alésienne, a suite by Georges Bizet. And I'm still spending the last few minutes of this hour with Alexandra Mattson, graduate student at Western, who's a horn player, and Dr. Robert White, who's a trumpeter, and both participating in a brass celebration of Christmas. We have one last piece to share with listeners today, and it's called Festive Cheer, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But remind listeners when the concert is once again.
It's this Sunday, the 16th at 3 p.m. in Dalton Center Recital Hall.
And the parking is nearby.
Yep.
Tickets are available at the door or through the MillerAuditorium.com. Mm-hmm.
I would say if it's your first time coming, give yourself a little bit of extra time. We do have a loyal, devoted following for this concert, and seats do fill up fast. But don't let that scare you away. The more the merrier.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have Christmas concert guilt like I do, because I've missed so many at this point, you can really make it up.
Yeah, in spades. Yep.
On Sunday at 3 o'clock. All ages welcome, of course.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, any last thoughts? Are you looking forward to the new year, Alexandra, when you come back?
Yeah, absolutely.
More music?
Yeah, it's kind of a quick turnaround, but I think the break will be like a nice reset. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the spring semester.
Will it be your last semester here, or?
It's going to be my second semester here.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, good. I just finished my first semester of graduate school, so I'm looking forward to the second one.
So we have you for another 18 months.
Yes.
Very good.
At least.
Good. Yeah. Any last thoughts or reminders, Bob?
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to next semester. There's a lot of BPI activity, 8 concerts next semester. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things happening in the trumpet area that are exciting. We have a lot of guest artists coming in. And the Western Brass Quintet has been hard at work putting the finishing touches on a new CD. So I'm hoping that early in the new year we'll have exciting news about when that's going to come out. It's going to feature a lot of pieces written specifically for us, and it's going to be cool. So.
Yeah, I know I've been waiting for that for
so
a while.
We.
That's great news. Well, enjoy your concert on Sunday, everyone. And here is Festive Cheer. Looks like it was arranged by Raymond Harvey.
Well, this is a different Raymond Harvey than the KSOs.
Oh.
This is a British arranger. He wrote this for a group called the London Brass. But it's a great collection of well-known Christmas songs, and you'll recognize all of them as it goes by. So,
well, let's put listeners in the mood for Sunday. The concert's at 3 o'clock, a brass celebration of Christmas, and details are at the MillerAuditorium.com website or at the School of Music website.